So we will call the meeting to order. I think everybody in the public has been to a meeting before, so
if it's okay with you, we'll suspend introductions, but thank you certainly for being here. And we will move right into number two, which is public comment. And as usual, we have a 15-minute time limit. Anybody in the public is welcome to speak. We also have that opportunity again at the end of the meeting. So is there anybody out there that wants to say anything right now? Okay.
My name is Jan Nickerson, representing Friends of 276 Heritage. And you've heard what I have to say in the past. I'm delighted to feel very much so that I've been heard. And I particularly appreciate the diversity of opinion that has been here and that you're all listening to each other and coming up with something that will work. I don't have anything new to add. I've appreciated very much those times in the past where you've invited us to participate when we're talking about the signs ordinance. If that opportunity makes sense again today, we'd be happy to participate at that time. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other comments? All right, as I said, there's an opportunity again at the end. And moving to item number three, is there any reason to make that change you were talking about? Okay. So
the agenda item is what we were looking at is under new business A, but
right.
What we were going to suggest or what we had was if they were here, not make them go through two different ordinances.
Okay. So since there's no one here, we'll keep that item A under new business there. And item three is approval of the agenda.
So approved. So moved.
We have a motion to approve the agenda.
Any
second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Next item, approval of minutes. Everybody have a chance to look at the minutes? If not, we'll take just a little bit of time here. When we've had time to look at it, I'd consider a motion to approve it.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All right, all approved. All those in favor of approving the October business or October meeting minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? There were none. Okay. Subdivision approvals and updates. Joy?
Since the last meeting in October, we have had one subdivision consisting of one additional lot, one family subdivision, one recombination, and eight changing the boundary lines between adjacent property owners.
Any questions concerning the subdivision report?
How long has it been since we had an actual subdivision, like 10, 12 lots, something
like that? I was going to mention, Mac, we have a draft plat in, originally I think it said 56 lots that would be the preserve at Rock Creek. They have come back and it's now 5 lots, and so we are in the process of working with the surveyor to make sure that we understand what they're actually doing. So it was last week, to answer your question, and you'll see that at the next meeting.
But I mean, before that, how long has it been?
Before that, it's probably, if we went back, I would imagine it goes, we had a couple of subdivisions that the county actually had to complete with earnest money that was put off following the Great Recession, if you will, 2008. So that would have been probably 11. So it's been 2011 since we've had any size. And you probably know it in your business more so.
Well, and I had noticed just glancing the headlines in the papers that Buncombe County and Henderson County are considering moratoriums on subdivisions.
Henderson County, I've seen the same.
They're overrun, and we haven't, basically haven't had any.
Well, I think, as you probably know, we have still a surplus of inventory. There was a tremendous amount of speculative development that took place prior to 2008. And so we're still working through that speculative development that happened. That's all I have.
Any more questions? Excuse me. All right. Moving into old business, we have the sign ordinance to finalize, and we had a loophole, maybe, whatever you want to call it, that had a possibility of causing some confusion. So we decided to take a couple of weeks to look it over. I spoke with Larry Chapman. He was good with the fact that we were trying to get it right as opposed to get it done, and was happy to delay until we could come up with a better solution to the loophole. So having said that, I told him we would try to act on it this meeting, have it ready. They have a meeting on the 14th, which it probably won't go on, in my opinion.
It will not be on. It will be on the 27th.
Right.
That for purposes of receiving, that would mean that if they receive and schedule the public hearing, that would be their first and only meeting in December, and then no action would take place until January.
Okay. Yeah, I know he had hoped that we would be able to come to some conclusion in this meeting, but I think we should be able to. But I told him we're meeting tonight to do that. With that.
All right. Back in September, there were three changes that were made. One was to strike 4.5, which prohibited the signs, off-premise signs, on roads that were designated as a scenic corridor by Pennsylvania County, and allow 20 square foot signs. One was to change the wording of the 4.6 that said for off-premise signs on a North Carolina scenic byway. Instead of being prohibited, they should follow the North Carolina Department of Transportation regulations for outdoor advertising. And then the third was...
Troy?
Yes.
Can you briefly summarize those regulations for outdoor advertising?
For outdoor advertising,
yeah.
On-premise signs for establishments located on a scenic byway are allowed, as long as they're outside of the NCDOT right-of-way, as long as they meet the specifications for size, they're allowed. Off-premise signs are not allowed. However, directional signs were exempt.
That's
So, those were the three changes that were made by the planning board in September.
What was the third change? I missed.
This was the third change. 5.11 was the third change. Off-premise signs designed to be visible from a road that is designated as a scenic corridor shall be no greater than 20 square feet, with a limit of one sign per establishment per scenic corridor.
Okay.
That was to replace the directional signs, which you have to read a directional sign to determine if it's directional, which means that it's content-based. With that in mind, there is a handout that staff have prepared, and they are possibilities for you all to consider. With the wording change of highlighting that off-premise signs located on scenic byways shall follow the North Carolina Department of Transportation regulations for outdoor advertising, staff felt it was important to keep that note that NCDOT has regulations for outdoor advertising, but that it's not a prohibition because those are not our rules. And so we would suggest moving 4.6 to Section 5, which deals with off-premise signs, because this is an off-premise sign. And so, same wording, but just moving it to the off-premise sign section of the ordinance.
So, Section 4 is prohibiting signs. And this is not prohibiting, it is just dealing with the issue of off-premise signs. And so it needs to go to Section 5.
Yeah, anybody have any issues with that?
It's just...
Okay.
Yep.
I don't see any objections, so...
That done.
Seems reasonable. All right.
Okay. In October, Jan Nickerson, who spoke earlier, asked you to consider a couple of things. One was reinstating Section 4.6. And in the 2003 ordinance, the master ordinance that was approved by county commissioners in 2003, Section 4.6 is what you see here in red line strikeout as 4.5. So I apologize for the confusion, but when you do a red line strikeout, sometimes those numbers get screwed up. So on the original ordinance that was adopted by county commissioners in 2003, 4.6 read, off-premise signs designed to be visible from a road or portion thereof designated as a scenic corridor by the Transylvania County Board of Commissioners were prohibited because they were located in Section 4 for prohibited signs. In the handout that was provided to you this evening, Jan's request to reinstate 4.6 would change the wording to be, they're prohibited except as allowed per Section 5.11. This would direct people to Section 5.11 to determine if their off-premise sign is allowed or prohibited.
You don't have to do anything with this one right now. Just that addition, and then the real conversation will be with what is on your sheet there, number 3, and that's where that addition comes into play.
Are you still considering item number 2?
Just trying to be sure I understand it.
Okay.
If I can summarize it in a different way to make sure of understanding, in this ordinance that stands now under prohibited signs, we listed signs on a scenic corridor. And since now we're going to allow off-premise signs on scenic corridors, we took section 4.6 out from underneath prohibited signs.
If you do this,
and
it's
now the current suggestion is to put these signs, this statement back under prohibited signs, even though they're not prohibited.
This would imply that they're prohibited, but when you get to 5.11, it would imply that they're allowed under certain conditions.
So if it stays under 5.11 as allowed, it may not be listed under prohibited signs.
So, it is our sense we want to allow some signs on these.
One sign per establishment, per scenic corridor, or however you guys choose to restructure 5.11.
Didn't we decide that that could be misinterpreted to mean one establishment sign on each corridor?
Right.
Each business, you know.
Right.
And that.
So Holiday Inn could get
right.
four signs or eight signs because there's however many scenic corridors we have in the county.
Well, what do we gain by doing this? I mean, what's the tactical advantage of doing that? Anything? Because we already have 5.11. If we modify that to whatever we do, shouldn't that solve the problem? I don't know what we gain by adding this.
I'm not sure that we do gain anything.
Perhaps I can speak to that.
That's what I was going to ask you if you would.
Thank you. So, my dad was an attorney. Attorneys look for loopholes. And so, somebody's going to find a loophole. And so, why not keep what has been there since 2003, there are no signs except for these. And so it clearly says, these are what's permitted. But other than that, there are no signs. Because if we don't say there are no signs, some guy's going to come up with a sign and say, there's nothing prohibiting me from doing this. And then that's where our call 800 for a good time, we buy ugly houses, signs are going to crop up on our scenic corridors. And we don't want that.
Does 512, I'm not disputing you, I'm asking you, does 512 already cover that? The way it's written here?
512 or 5.11?
512 says that off-premise sign designed to be visible from a road or portion thereof shall follow the North Carolina mm-hmm. Department of Transportation regulations for outdoor advertising.
It's byways, not corners.
Right, but if we're saying that, isn't that saying what the suggestion of 4.6 is saying? Then wouldn't that keep a loophole from occurring?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
512 is just in regards to scenic byways that
right.
the North Carolina State DOT determines.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to say, in back to 5.12, we wanted to say you have to follow DOT rules, not us determining what these rules are, because mm-hmm. before we try to interpret those. So instead, it's to keep
okay.
it modern.
All right, I got it.
Speaking
right along, it's, you know, if somebody's going to find a loophole in there, let's just make it perfectly clear. Signs aren't permitted except for these. It's just clarity. It doesn't change the intent. It's consistent with the intent. It just clarifies, in my opinion.
Okay. Thank you.
New cut on US 64 West, Little Mountain, Staten Road, and 276 from Wilson Road to the state line, if the county commissioners approve, are all scenic corridors that are not scenic byways. Does that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the way we've got it written right now, Holiday Inn could have one sign on each one of those corners.
Mm-hmm.
And so could McDonald's.
McDonald's.
Establishment in Transylvania County.
But it's only Attorney's Square to put a sign on every one.
I'm sorry?
So it's only Attorney's Square to put a sign on 20
square foot sign.
Go back to the meeting, I think it was in August, the discussion was the reason why we want to allow this is so that if there was, and I think the specific discussion was a woodworking shop that was identified up in the Cedar Mountain community, is we want to be able to allow that business to have an opportunity to advertise. It was not an opportunity to allow any establishment, regardless of what size sign they wanted, but any establishment to have just off-premise signs. And this was really designed to help that business, potter, wood shop, whatever, off of a scenic corridor.
The camping off of 281, the, yeah.
Yeah, that was the reason we kind of settled on what we did was,
right,
there's some places that need to advertise, like on Highway 64 scenic corridor, so you can turn on 281 and then you go half a mile and turn off of 281,
right,
and they need another sign.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we came up with the one sign per corridor.
For establishment.
For establishment, yeah.
So I'll go back. Don't worry about changing what is identified up there as number two. Let's look at 511 and see if any of these, when you look at these, how that in context of the other makes sense. Joy, you want to go through and...
So, in October, Jan requested you guys to consider modified wording for 5.11. And one of the examples that she brought was similar to B on the page in front of you and up here on the screen. One off-premise sign designed to be visible from a road, a portion thereof, designed as a scenic corridor by Transylvania County Board of Commissioners, shall be allowed per establishment located on or accessed by that scenic corridor, provided that the sign area is no greater than 20 square feet. At the last meeting, we discussed potentially needing a distance, which is shown in item A, which is, again, one off-premise sign designed to be visible from a road or a portion thereof, designated as a scenic corridor by the Transylvania County Board of Commissioners, shall be allowed per establishment located within a half mile of that scenic corridor, provided the sign area is no greater than 20 square feet.
So that would allow Holiday Inn to have
zero signs,
right.
Well, it's possible that they could get something on Little Mountain.
Might have, yeah. But that's a byway, isn't it? Or is that
scenic corridor? That's a scenic corridor, not a scenic byway. And if it's more than a half mile away, it wouldn't be directly on Little Mountain. It would be near the base, depending on where that mileage is.
Have you seen the electronic sign the church has?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about electronic signs right now.
Really? I really don't have a problem with Holiday Inn having a sign there if it meets the conditions of the ordinance. I mean, I don't care if it's, you know, Joe's Woodworking Shop or Holiday Inn, if it's within a half mile of the distance.
You may want 1 mile, or I think when I came back there was discussion about 2 mile, although I think 2 miles is too much. And so that's kind of the distance there. And what's the third option?
The third option is the same wording except allowed per establishment local to that scenic corridor. And local is defined on the next page. The Merriam-Webster definition of local is characterized by or relating to position and space, number one. Number three is primarily serving the needs of a particular limited district. So an establishment serving the needs of a particular limited district.
I think, this is just me, but I think B and C are susceptible lawyer words, where the half mile is not. I agree with Ms. Nickerson. Lawyers make their living on loopholes, and I think when you use words like local or access directly, that's a much less definitive than 1/2 mile.
What's local to you might not be local to them.
I mean, we can measure 1/2 mile in a 360-degree radius from a city corridor. We can't measure local on a map.
So if we have an off-premise sign saying it has to be 1/2 mile, what if there's no property owner that allows, that is going to let you put
that
sign 1/2 mile?
That would be a problem already.
Right.
But we are kind of limiting the ability to get that off-premise sign if we put a hard-coded dimension.
Yep, but it could be that you could, that argument could be made for 1 mile.
No, I know.
And possibly even 2 miles, because
that problem exists without this ordinance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. DeJoy actually has, we talked a little bit earlier today about trying to schematically think about what that might look like, 1/2 mile.
So there's two businesses selling the same thing, represented by these little blue houses.
Businesses.
Yeah, but they
look, those are businesses.
Okay, by these little blue businesses.
They're outside the city limits in their middle of their shit.
We don't care what the business looks like. We don't care what the business is selling. They're all equal. There's a CF corridor here. They both are 3 miles off the scenic corridor by driving distance. They both require a right turn off of the main road. Whatever main road this is, that you have to turn right to get to this business. Whatever main road this is, you have to turn right. One, if you draw a circle, a 360-degree circle around the scenic corridor, is 1/2 mile from the scenic corridor. One is 2.5 miles. The one that's 2.5 miles also has the ability to be accessed by the U.S. highway. So,
I personally like the ordinance the way we have it now. I mean, I realize that a sign might come up that we don't like, but it's going to be small, for one. But my main goal is to make sure that all the little blue businesses get to put a small sign up so that people can find it. And that's, people have to survive and thrive, and there's evidently a lot more concern about this at Cedar Mountain than there is the rest of the county. I mean, the Lake Hawksway community has hired their own planner to help come up with a plan to increase business. And they've hired another company to help market the community. And, you know, this isn't just for Cedar Mountain, it's for the whole county. And it may not be as restrictive as the Cedar Mountain community would like, but it's already more restrictive than the Lake Hawksway community.
Well, I said this last time, and my concern toward the mayor is, I don't want to see a scenic corridor with a sign every 100 feet. But I do concerned about that fellow's got a business, and he needs people to know where he is. So,
and you have to remember,
I'm sorry,
go ahead. Well, you have to remember that, I mean, Highway 276 was open to signs just like the Rosman Highway.
Yeah.
It's not covered up with signs.
Anyway, it's not. And the signs that are there are, in my opinion, tasteful, not garish, and do the job of saying, here's a subdivision, here's a business, or whatever. You know. That's my opinion.
You said something. that is exemplified in 5.5. You don't want to see off-premise signs on a scenic corridor every 25 feet.
Right, or something. Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. A whole bunch of them, let's say it that way. Whatever a bunch is.
So we could craft an exception to, or an addition to 5.11 that keeps the distances of these off-premise signs located on scenic corridors to be a certain distance apart. So we don't have 20 all within 2 feet of each other.
Or 100, or we don't have 20 within 200 feet, one every 10 foot or something.
Right. That would allow one sign per establishment per scenic corridor.
I think we need some way to modify that where what we mean is businesses on that or access from that corridor. We don't mean that Holiday Inn can be allowed to have all these signs or McDonald's or whatever.
So back to section number B.
And keep in mind, this particular aspect only applies to scenic corridors.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It was designated as it has a different designation, it falls under a different ramification, right?
Right.
Well, it wouldn't have any off-premise restrictions.
And I guess from my standpoint, I just don't, not that it would, but everybody uses the extreme case scenario.
Yeah.
We don't need a business in the county doing like that. You guys ever been up 95, where south of the border is there? On
yeah.
The, and they advertise it for 100 miles each way. We don't. I think that we're trying to keep that type of advertising off the scenic corridors and keeping it to the businesses which are located on or slightly off of the scenic corridor.
Right.
And I think, as I stated at the last meeting, my sentiment is with Matt wholeheartedly, but I really feel like you can be less restrictive. We have the ability to be less restrictive through the variance process. If we have a business come in that is 3/4 of a mile off, and you know what they're trying to achieve fits in with the plan of what we wanted to see, and that is businesses only that are local to that scenic corridor. What we can't do is go back. But what's difficult is to make it more restrictive if the wording isn't there to do so. So it's been my experience in working with these and crafting them is you want to make them more restrictive, you can always back off. But if you don't have the wording there strong enough,
you can't make it
stronger.
Right.
You can later, but
you'll get challenged.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And this, if this applied to every road in the county, I'd have a concern. But it's just the scenic corridor.
One of them, but it applies to every road in my community.
Every road?
Well, every highway.
Yeah.
Every main road.
Yep.
Is 64 scenic all the way up through there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
One of the
281 north and south.
One of the things that, I'm sorry, Matt. One of the things in discussing this with people that I've heard is exactly what you did, well, what Max said and what you're alluding to is that they're concerned about the incrementalism of scenic corridors.
Yeah.
If you do it here, then you do it here, then you do it here, then you do it here, pretty soon it does apply to every highway in the county.
Yeah.
So I don't know that we can fix that problem, but that certainly is a concern that I've heard in discussing this with people is that what do you tag as a scenic corridor? Is there a way to make sure that every road's not a scenic corridor, because I've never seen government start with something and do less of it.
Mm-hmm. And do what?
Less of it.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I've never seen them take a temporary restriction off either, but.
Or a temporary tax.
Or a temporary tax.
Transylvania County has.
So,
that's, but the concern is incrementalism, is where does the, you know.
But these designations are controlled by the county commissioners, is that correct? I mean, so the public can go to those meetings and say,
right,
we don't, our community doesn't want this. It's up to them, I think, to take responsibility for that.
Right.
It's up to us to protect these corridors in a reasonable fashion, I think.
Well, it's actually technically up to you to recommend to the commissioners.
Right, yes. That's
this really would be a recommendation to the commission.
That is, you are an advisory board to the county commissioners.
But do we not pretty well protect the community with a 20 square foot maximum sign size? I mean, that, to me, it's not a very big sign.
I think
not a very big sign.
I agree with you.
And do you want to have a variance for somebody to put up and about
I agree with everything you've said. I think the challenge on that is currently in a scenic corridor, off-premise signs are not allowed, period.
Period.
Period. 20, 75, 150, off-premise signs are just not allowed. And so by now allowing an off-premise sign on a scenic corridor, even if it is a 20-foot sign, if you don't limit it in some way, you could end up with a string of signs that are not local to that community, advertising someplace else. What if you had in your community a business down in South Carolina that wanted to advertise for a hardware store? If they're offering a sign,
they find the lead long time to put up a sign in South Carolina.
Right, you probably could.
Perfectly okay.
Nice.
I think the difficulty comes in because our scenic corridors are so different. I think of 64 up there in the camping ground that there's once the sign that says camping this way, and they're missing all the tourists going to the gorges. But then I also think of Staten Road through DuPont Forest that right now has no signs, and all it is forest. And if we do allow this, you know, then there can be a sign in DuPont State Forest for every business in Brevard and every...
Well, if they can find a property owner willing to allow that.
Right. As you say, probably will if they offer money.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just hard to, imagine seeing signs all through DuPont Forest, and it's hard to imagine not seeing signs on 64.
Well, I actually think you're right.
Yeah.
I think your thought was... start and then a variance if somebody wanted to come in. Because if you don't have that, my concern would be that if you don't have some type of limitation, even if it's going back to what Julia suggested is another idea, which is spacing. Because on the spacing, you could then go back, and that might be an easy way to pass for variance too. So in that example where we have right now, I think it's 2,000 linear feet, business owner comes in and says, I'm at 1,500 feet, I'd like a variance to this. That would be a way of limiting as well. In fact, that might even be a cleaner way rather than saying no. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just still go back to the premise that, like 276, that hasn't been a scene corridor before, is not inundated with signs.
Your point is well taken.
We're basically hunting a problem that hasn't existed. And, to me, we just want to eliminate the worst things that can happen and not everything that might not be ideal.
Get a bunch of signs for one person to report events. But I still want that guy to be able to say.
And, you know, quite honestly, I really, truly feel like, you know, moving forward, especially the way GPS is right at your hands now, signs way outside of those right out of business are going to be a thing of the past. Because not everybody, a lot of people, more so than ever, they GPS where they're going to. They may not have a sign one.
Right.
But as long as the GPS is set up properly, you got the latest information, it'll put you in the middle of the lake. It takes you to Joe's Woodshop. And I think more and more of that's going to be happening where signs aren't going to be needed anyway.
I think that's true if you have service.
Yeah. I can see a mountain doesn't.
But if you can drive up down the road, you don't even know there is a James Wood shop.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that's the problem I see right there.
Yes, sir.
May I make a suggestion?
Absolutely.
In trying to look at the spirit of ADMC, one way we may be able to have, here's some good words, flexibility without ambiguity. If you were to say, accessed within 3 miles of the scenic corridor, which gets to our blue businesses, it kind of gets at the, okay, how far do you have to drive to get there? And not the ambiguity of, well, I'm only a half mile, even though it takes you 3 miles to get here. It makes sure that it's local. If you have to drive no more than three miles from the corridor, that certainly makes it local. So that's just a thought.
Yeah, but my business is 3.5 miles.
Well, then you get the variance.
You get the variance. The variance gives you flexibility.
You get the variance.
Why can't I have a sign? Well, I mean, we come talk early on about making sure the variability was there,
right?
You know, how important that is. So we can be a little more restrictive on the front end. I thought that was the whole reason we wanted to make sure we had a robust variance.
But we're talking about a 20-square-foot sign.
We are, but if we have 40 of them, that's a lot of signage.
I would just suggest that we refer to Dollar General as a wake-up call. And I don't know that they're going to be a big expansion of mom-and-pop shops along 276, but I think we might be wise to be prepared for that eventuality.
I thought about that Dollar General thing a lot, and you know, it went totally the other way in Sapphire. Some of the developments for neighborhoods next to it got excited, and they called the planning department trying to stop them. They called DWQ and tried to stop them. They called land quality and tried to stop them. They called the health department and tried to stop them. They called me after all that, wanted to know if I would go to a meeting with the DOT to try to get the driveway permit denied. And they said, if that doesn't work, I guess we'll be neighborly. So they have the standard run-of-the-mill Dollar General store sitting by their And the other thing I thought a lot about was the cell tower that we hearing that we had a while back, and some of the neighbors wanted to make some changes and had some suggestions. But the guy had taken our ordinance, our county ordinance, and he sat down and he crafted his cell tower so that it met the requirements of our ordinance, so that he didn't have to have a variance and he didn't have to make concessions. And to him, he had already made his concessions because he built the tower we said he could have. And maybe if he had had more flexibility in other areas, he would have been more willing to sit down with the neighbors and be accommodating to them.
That wouldn't have happened.
I mean, it's
kind of, he would have built it to, if we were less restrictive, it would have gone up to whatever that amount would be. And then, having worked with him and others, they're going to do exactly what that minimum is to be approved.
Right.
With the exception of Dollar General, and you're absolutely right. Joy and I drove by there yesterday, and there were 10, 15 cars out there. So it's used, and people are being neighborly. But
yeah,
took a whole different approach. On
same
that
community toward the bank out driving their golf
cart. Were there any golf carts out front? Because they come from that same community. Shop at Dollar General now. Yeah.
But I mean, I just think businesses typically do the right thing when they're given a chance, and they have enough room and option to do that.
I'm okay with that wording on O B.
B?
Yeah.
Okay.
My concern was I really felt like we needed a statement in there of distance. 3 miles is... to me, it means what we're
what's it this?
We're trying to achieve, and that's what's local to the scenic corridor being advertised there.
What's 3 linear miles from Brevard into the scenic corridor? It can be accessed directly from there.
That's a bridge.
Yeah, 3 miles.
I thought access meant driving 3 miles, not 3.
Can we just open the sign ordinance back there, or the scenic corridor ordinance back there that takes the roads out? I mean, like the thing across Rosman doesn't fit this at all.
Right.
Yeah. A 3 lane road with 200 foot of right of way. And
I couldn't read a 20 foot sign on 64.
Yeah, man, you couldn't even see there was a 20 square foot sign. You couldn't tell what it was if it was off the right of way.
Well, I always drive by there at 54.9 miles an hour.
And it's really, hard to see, so it's really pretty unfair to say that the Rosman bypass can't have all 3 signs, so the people and businesses in Rosman can't throw up a sign pointing toward town. I mean, I would just imagine if Brevard had a bypass, that the folks in Brevard and the businesses would be able to advertise.
Where are you trying to take?
I'm trying to go from Wilson Road to McDonald's.
Their advertising is what's keeping that bypass from being built.
Because if the county commissioners approve the addition of 276 to Wilson Drive or Wilson Road, then driving 3 miles from there would be McDonald's. You asked for an establishment in Brevard. That's what I thought of.
Mm-hmm.
How far is it?
So McDonald's would advertise by RBQ.
Bojangles.
Dunkin' Donuts.
ABC store, anything back there you can advertise.
And I would argue 3 miles is not far enough in Lake Topsway. There's
right.
All kinds of
right.
Amps.
Right. Mm. Yeah, exactly. Free rain, more than 3 miles from the road.
One of the things that I don't necessarily have a solution on this, but I think that I'm going to suggest that we need to be looking at the KISS principle on this. Keep it simple, stupid. And somehow or another, I think we're starting to lose sight of that in terms of what are we trying to accomplish. Before, we had no on-premise signs allowed on a scenic corridor.
Right.
That was, and that's one of the reasons why 276 probably looks as good as it does. No, it's not a scenic corridor. I think sign companies, people come in and say, they just don't want this. And so that's probably one of the natural limitations. It's not a requirement, but a natural limitation. If we add what would be reasonable, 20 square foot signs on 276, how does that look to you now?
20 square foot signs?
Yep.
So the first 20?
No, I'm not trying to say what a number is. I'm just saying, what does it look like now that when you drive that and you've got these signs up? Does it change the character of that community? Does it change the road the way that you want it to be or not want it to be?
Good. There's probably 30 or 40 signs there.
If you added another 20 more, what would it look like?
You would be another city.
So 281, you brought in pictures of the existing signs, and there were about 20 of them? 14? Adding 20 to that, or 50 to that, or, yeah. Because it would be all the scenic corridors. 20 signs on Little American coming down 280. 20 signs on New Cut, on 64.
that gets to be pretty close to solid. I mean, you know, that's the exercise. What does it look like? That's the exercise. What would it look like if you had it? Even at 20 square like foot.
Cluttered mess, in my opinion.
And the intent of the sign control ordinance is to allow businesses to advertise while keeping the distracting influence of uncontrolled signs from occurring throughout the county.
There's 26 signs on the Whitewater Road.
Okay.
About 7 miles.
And it's still very well, scenic.
We're taking an area where signs are not permitted at all now.
Off-premise signs.
Except we're allowing...
Unless their grandfather.
And currently, directional signs are exempt. From the NCDOT regulations and the sign control ordinance. But because of the Supreme Court ruling, we can no longer exempt directional signs. We can no longer exempt real estate signs and not exempt Joe's cabinetry or the camping. We have to treat them all equally.
Directional signs being what, though? Are we talking about...
Directional signs to commercial business or direction for sale of real estate property or personal property, such as temporary realtors signs and yard sale signs. So any directional sign to a commercial business or a real estate sign.
Have been allowed.
They have been because they have been exempt. So they have been allowed on scenic corridors.
We can no longer exempt those.
We can no longer exempt those.
We have to be content neutral with our signs. That is the reason why we started this whole exercise.
Yes. Right. Yes. So we could or couldn't prohibit signs altogether on scenic corridors.
We can. We can regulate based on location, height, size, and lighting.
Just not content.
And content gets a little bit into color and trademarks and so, yeah. Not based on content. You can't read the sign to determine if it's exempt or not.
So at the end of the day, we're opening up scenic corridors to the possibility of a large variety of signs than what has been there.
Yeah.
Limited to size.
Yeah.
Yeah. 20 square feet. Okay. And you are.
What?
But those signs, off-premise signs, are basically directional signs. That's true. I mean, in a pretty broad sense of the term.
Yeah.
So they were allowed anyway, and now we're saying 20 square feet is the maximum size.
Would it be unreasonable to go back and not have distance? As in 1/2 mile or 3 miles, I guess is what Joy has up there now. But look at not having a off-premise sign closer than 2,000 feet from another one, knowing that they could ask for variance because that's where their business is or because they can find a property owner within that distance that will allow it. But that gives you, what I'm looking at is I'm trying to say, take it to approximately a quarter of a mile is what you're looking at. A little bit, 2,000 would be a little bit more.
Between signs.
Between off-premise signs. On-premise is not an issue on this at all.
Right.
It's just off-premise sign.
So we're saying in that case, McDonald's could put up a 20-square-foot sign on the scenic corridor because there's no regulation against how far away the business is from the
I'm not worrying about that, but what then McDonald's gets theirs in, now Arby's wants to put one up. Arby's is going to have to be 2,000 feet away,
or request a variance.
C has been modified to potentially be an example of that.
Yes, ma'am.
One of the concerns I have about that is at those roads that come off of the scenic corridor, upon which there are half a dozen businesses. And an example would be, as you drive past Mud Daubers, there's a road that goes off to the right, and there's three or four signs right there for go to the blacksmith, go to the camp down there, things like that. And that's appropriate. How else do those businesses get their sign there?
Right.
But, and you know, ideally they kind of coordinate it, hey, let's all have one sign and we'll have our thing on. But not necessarily. And of course, you don't want to have it looking junky, but I think you also have to accommodate when you've got a lot of businesses off the side road.
That's a good point.
So that would be an example of it being closer than 2,000 linear feet. Yeah.
I think in our one meeting, I forget which, we had talked about intersections specifically. You know, Mac, you have like, isn't there a sign where you have a bunch of business, your business and a bunch of other, it wasn't an intersection, but it's like a coordinated, like, hey, all these things are here, instead of spreading them out every 2,000 feet.
Yeah, I'd rather see or you that kind of a sign than one every 2,000 feet. Or you're on the sandwich shop on just off Cedar Mountain and you can't put up a sign because McDonald's has a sign 500 feet on this side of the intersection.
Yeah.
Arby's has a sign on the other side.
So, is there a way that it's, could multiple businesses fit their signs on a 20-square-foot sign? How your sign that has multiple signs on it, multiple establishments, is it larger than 20 square feet?
It's 80.
It's 80 square feet.
It has three businesses.
So if we combine signs,
it's going to be bigger.
It's going to be bigger than 20 square feet.
I think I would that
would be too big.
I wouldn't even go on that direction.
Okay.
I mean, if they wanted to come in the example that Jan just gave, there's three businesses on a drive, and 20 is not big enough to identify all of them in a reasonable way, then I think they could come to the planning board and say, we'd like to have three businesses on one side. 20 square feet doesn't work. Here's what we're looking at in terms. That's a variance. If you try to design that in right now, we're going to not.
Yeah, it's going to be too much.
You know,
we
could have 28 different configurations and whatnot.
Definitely.
Or 50. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so, I don't have problems with just separating by 2,000 feet because it essentially opens it up to anyone anywhere in the world to put a sign there. And I don't know why McDonald's needs to have a sign 15 miles away.
Yeah, I don't either.
And that's what I like about, you know, saying that there's a radius. You know, these businesses are within a radius. These are essentially directional signs that are trying to get people to the business within that area. Whether we call it out with a dimension or if it's local or however, you know, we define it, I think it doesn't make sense to have an Arby's and Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's sign all along the scenic corridor. It just doesn't feel like that's what we're looking at.
I sort of don't think that would happen, but
you never know. I mean, why we need to make this restrictive and have the variance process open it up.
Would it meet the intention of what Lauren is saying if we added to how you've already edited C, add that for those businesses placing a sign within 3 miles of their establishment, blah, blah, blah. In that way, instead of 3 miles of the corridor, it's 3 miles of where your sign is.
The problem is that if government acts in any way, somebody's going to get stuck. And now we're just negotiating who's going to get stuck. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, that's why we have the variance.
That's the issue. Who's going to get stuck?
But that's why we have the variance.
That's always been that anytime government acts, somebody's going to get the axe and somebody's not. Now, who do we want to give the axe to? That's the real question.
Or do we want to, I mean, we put in place a variance process to handle that very thing. I mean, we can't not have an ordinance and just have the whole thing open.
We could.
Well, no, I'm sorry. You're right. We could. I think we'd have a lot more people in this room.
But Cedar,
to think of that.
But Cedar Mountain hasn't had any special restrictions for the last 30 or 40 years, and it's not really an issue. The only, correct me if I'm wrong, the only business in town that has a sign in Cedar Mountain is the White Squirrel Shop, I think. And they have a huge old billboard.
It's not huge, but they have right now.
I still contend that we're creating a straw man problem and then throwing darts at it.
What do you want to do, man?
I like what we have. And we basically talked about all these things when we came up with what we've got. We considered how confusing and complicated it would get trying to be sure that businesses that need signs on the corridor could put them. So we said all premise signs had to be no bigger than 20 square feet. That was the compromise at the time a few months ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
So right now,
part of what prompted our concern and response, part of our concern about this was that the change was coming, and it wasn't just local when Dollar General came. And if Dollar General, I mean, they've got some kind of business model I can't figure out. 6 stores in one county, the size of Transylvania. But they might build another one. But people are getting excited about prices that people are paying for land and prices people are paying for homes and land, and just wonder what that's going to draw to some of this, all this roadside. I mean, roads, people owning roadside property are starting to carve it out, put signs up.
But on the flip side, the concern in Lake Topsway is that there's not any growth. That there's not any growth.
That's a concern, of course. I'm concerned, right?
Right.
All over the county.
The Lake Topsway Estates residents and the Burlingame residents have formed a group, along with some local people, to actually try to increase business and growth.
But as you probably remember, development activity that has been looked at in that area has been killed by Lake Toxaway folks, and you know, so a lot of that activity over the last 15 years that I've seen work with people, you end up with Toxaway people coming in and saying, we don't want that, that's going to change the character of our community. There is a group right now, you're absolutely right, I've been talking with them, they've been asking for advice. That's a change in that community's mindset right now. So, Joy, you seem to have something.
I have heard that the way it was proposed in September and B are both different parts of the planning board, like these two different options. I have not heard anyone say A is their preferred.
That's my preferred.
A is your preferred?
A is my preferred.
A is your preferred.
I don't know if half miles is the number, but...
That is a variance.
Yeah.
Okay.
To me, half mile is...
Do we have to put a distance at all? Just located on
say what you
corridor.
Just said again, Joy. What? Which one did you heard?
I was just corrected. Apparently, it was A, and what it was proposed in September, and then an audience member said, "What about B?" So, do we want to go further with discussion, or do we want to consider one of these?
So, if you're premise is right, then no change or A would be the options that are around the table.
I like A. But located on or off that scenic corridor.
So located a mile of that scenic corridor.
Anywhere, yeah, anywhere within that.
But what if it's 1 mile? I mean, do we have to, I'm just thinking, do we have to put a distance? If it's located off that scenic corridor, it might be a half mile, might be a mile, might be 2 miles.
I think that's what B is essentially
saying. Located on or access within 3 miles of that scenic corridor.
My concern is, even a lawyer that's not that good at their job can argue that anything in the county is located off that corridor. You see what I'm saying? That's, again, I don't want to be this restrictive. It's because of my experience with this and how they do get twisted and loopholes found. You need to be more restrictive there. The variance process allows us to be less restrictive. And at the end of the day, this allows more of a sign than what was allowed there before.
Because it can be any type of sign.
Yeah. And before, it was directional signs, things of that nature, were probably smaller than 20 square feet. If they were real estate signs or, rock mine this way or something of that nature.
So it's 10 after 8. And I have to work Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah. So I want to make sure we're out of here.
Can I say one more thing?
I mean, you're going to wonder why we don't just leave it.
If you go with A, then every real estate agent that wants to put a sign up for a house for sale down in the road that's more than a half mile from the same corridor is going to have to come down the variance. And a half mile is not very far.
No, it isn't.
I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe most cases, I'm thinking this out as I'm saying it, so I may be wrong. Not in every case, but in most cases, I think if you're looking at a house, if you're serious about it, you're going to know how to get there, with or without a directional sign. Every house I ever went to look at to buy, I don't even know if the realtor had a sign or not. I knew where I was going ahead of time.
The realtors put the signs up for a reason. If they didn't pay, they wouldn't do it. And if you give somebody that has a campground 3 miles off the scenic corridor a variance, the next day somebody comes in and owns a McDonald's 3 miles off the scenic corridor and he asks for a variance for the exact same size and style sign, it's going to be hard to turn them down. Once you start handing out variances like candy, it's hard to...
Start doing variances like candy, you need to rewrite your ordinance because it no longer is valid.
Right. Right.
That needs to be changed.
So I think that's what I like about that. The half-mile aspect should get the idea through to people. We want you located close to that corridor in order to permit you a sign. Not 6 miles off, or in the middle of town, or whatever. I think the purpose of that is hopefully to make it clear to whoever's reading that and thinking about putting a sign for McDonald's up in Cedar Mountain that probably gonna work.
But the point of having the scenic corridor is to keep it scenic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to make the guy that has a mulch yard put it on the side of 276 because that's the only place he can put a sign up.
Now you're arguing for no signs.
Yeah, no, I'm saying I'd rather have a 20 square foot sign that says mulch yard pointing down a side road as I had to have a mulch yard on the same corridor.
If McDonald's was going to put up a sign on 276, wouldn't they have already done it?
I think so. I really do. But again, where I'm coming from is either you're from here or been here enough to know when you're in Cedar Mountain where the McDonald's is.
Right.
Or as soon as you get a signal, You're going to punch it up on your phone and find it. You're not going to need a direction.
So if I follow that premise out to the end, there's going to be no need for this ordinance in 5 years.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So why have
it? I wouldn't be surprised.
But there's a lot of people without cell phones. You may not be alive, but I can see that. There's a lot of people without cell phones, and there's a lot of senior corridors without cell service.
Try to find a cell service in Toxaway this week. Promise you, you can.
Would 3 miles work for most of the real estate funds that you're thinking about?
Now it's 12.
Once again. To be found in violation of this, someone has to report it. Technically, right? Or you guys have to observe it.
We either see it, but if this is the sign control ordinance is a complaint generated ordinance for almost all purposes.
So really, say directional sign can be put up there, but in order for action to be taken, it's going to require someone to say, "Hey, that's not supposed to be." I don't like that aspect of the ordinance, but I'm really not sure how you fix that.
We don't address temporary awnings.
But, I mean, it's with the real estate signs, it's, they're going to do like the city does. In every county election, you'll pick up signs 2 weeks before election day. But in city elections, they don't. We're going to leave them out there until somebody complains.
Mr. Chairman, I think you've had a lot of discussion on this. I would probably just say somebody needs to make a motion.
That's what I was getting ready to say. It's 14 after 8 now. And we've got two options on the table. That's where I've been going, and then we started talking again. So
I believe we go with the original language in the draft of the ordinance that we approved 2 months ago, or 3 months ago.
As we presently have it in the September 20th, I second that.
So we have a motion and a second to leave it as it was written in September. Any discussion on that? And that's what's highlighted on the screen in yellow.
That's not the September.
It is.
It is.
That's the wording of September.
Yes.
But we put it off till this month because
in my copy of it.
We don't want that sign on every corner.
Well,
this is the 9/25 red line strikeout. 9/25. What's the date on the bottom of yours?
9/25.
This is the 9/25 draft.
And you don't have a 5.11?
No. I have 5/11 that says all premises signs designed to be visible for the lowest portion of our objection in the city quarter shall be no greater than 500 square feet.
That's it.
That's what it. I have highlighted, yeah.
The same thing happened.
Yeah, it was in the sense of 6.
It was in the different form because
it was in the same.
That's 5/11 you have.
Yes.
Right.
This is the wording for section 5/11 of the 9/25 draft ordinance.
4/6
is different.
The scenic byway shall fall for North Carolina, which is different.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't use one.
I understand why.
All right. So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? I think we've had plenty of discussion. Now, all in favor of what is highlighted on the screen, which is the 9/25 draft section 5/11. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Oh, so we got 3-3 tie now.
Time to pull the gun.
And it's 8:15.
I just have one other suggestion. if we're trying to avoid advertising McDonald's south of Wilson Road, if there's some reference to a location of the business not being controlled by other zoning domains, restrictions, controls, districts, and so
I don't see that one.
Okay, I'm just trying to see how you get rid of McDonald's.
That's all.
Yeah. And that
discriminatory.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a business in the city. Yeah.
Well, I would ask y'all, what are you going to put up there then? Sandy, Derek.
I think we like option, I don't want to speak for everyone else, but I like option A.
Would you like to make a motion?
Well, I think
yeah.
Unless there's a change.
I thought about that, but I thought it was.
Unless there's a change, yeah. I don't see.
Yeah, we can avoid
is there,
that.
Is there any way we can. Is there any. I honestly believe either one are okay. Either one achieve, I believe, what we're trying to achieve, and that's to make sure someone has the ability to have a sign if they so desire, on the corridor. What I like about A again is it kind of sets the parameter for what you have in mind. If that was extended at all, would you guys be open to it? Is there any compromise between the two that we can?
3 miles.
It was 40 miles.
Well, I mean, you have Highway 215. You just think about these roads, and there's side roads that go for miles and miles off there. And
yeah.
Businesses need to be able to put up a sign.
Right.
It's not.
Yeah. I mean, again, from where I'm.
Well, we don't have any issues now.
Yeah.
We're being more restrictive because the directional signs were allowed, and they could have been bigger than 20 square feet.
Yeah.
So we've talked about the issue of if you give out a lot of variances, things like candy, and it doesn't mean anything. Conversely, and Darryl was just kind of the converse of that, is if there's not a problem, then you don't have to change something. If there is a problem, and if that community or the planning board or staff in the future says there's something going on here that we don't like, we're seeing a preponderance of these little 20 square foot signs advertising all over, they're essentially directional signs, then I think that's when you come back in and you say we need to do something about that. So maybe that's another way of looking at that, as opposed to saying that you've got to set that limit of a half mile. And in fact, in some ways, that's a recommendation that you're making already on a lot of the changes right now is because of changes or the request of the people that live in that community.
I can only say that I've worked with a lot of contracts in my job, and I see a lot of loose language, and I see what it leads to. And that's why I'm in favor of a slightly more restrictive ordinance in, or paragraph in this ordinance, because we have a variance process. And I can only speak to my own experience seeing what happens if you start too loose and then try to tighten up later. You know, if we take that tactic, I'm afraid if we revisit it in a year, you know, we're gonna have to repeat this entire process over again. And why not get the thing right now when we have the opportunity to have a good variance ordinance if we need it? Because we are going to see a lot of growth in this county. We're seeing it already.
Kinsey, is 3 miles a distance that is a compromise you'd be comfortable with?
What if we went with the wording of what you guys proposed, and there at the end, with a limit of one sign per establishment in the vicinity of the scenic corridor?
Yeah, I think what is vicinity?
Yeah, what's vicinity?
It gets back to what we had below there was local to or whatever. It gives the idea of we don't necessarily, we're not encouraging businesses far outside the scenic corridor to be putting signs there, but the signs, the businesses, establishments within the area of that scenic corridor is what we're targeting.
I've just been thinking this whole thing over. Has a DG that's open anywhere in this county led to uncontrolled growth and signage? Dollar General. As a Dollar General, it's open anywhere in this county. Led to uncontrolled growth in signages and excessive signage. Yeah, we've got 6 of them in this county, or maybe 7. I kind of see what Max say. We're creating a problem to fix.
I'm just thinking a little bit. Little establishments, little. And they're just off the corridor.
Right.
But yeah, I know Dollar General, you can't miss it. I
mean, well, but has the Dollar General that's open anywhere in this county led to a problem?
And I can't
think of
one Dollar General sign that is an off-premise sign. All of their signs have been on.
Right. I'm just saying, we've got 6 Dollar Generals that have opened in this county. Has any one of them that's open in this county caused a problem that would be in violation of what's in the sign ordinance now? No, there's not excessive growth around the Dollar General in Rosman. There's not excessive growth around the Dollar General in Toxaway. We're creating a problem to fix.
And I don't necessarily, I honestly thought twice about Dollar General.
That's where this whole thing started.
Yeah. I mean, but from my standpoint, I'm liking A over what stated on number 3 there is with a scenic corridor. You want to try to keep the advertising to what is close by that scenic corridor. Accessible from that scenic corridor directly, or not necessarily indirectly, in that the 276 corridor, if you come in from Greenville, you on 276, you could argue that, you know, it takes you to anywhere in Transmade County. Which is what leaves open for what's under number 3 there for anything in Transylvania County, outside of Transylvania County, to put up a sign there.
Well, my whole issue is that businesses in Lake Toxaway, Quebec, Silverstein, Boston Grove, Sapphire, Whitewater, Cedar Mountain, the town of Rosman, are being punished because the main road through their community is a scenic corridor, and they can't advertise.
Only off-premise.
Right. But that's what I mean. I'm not talking about the businesses on the corridor.
Yeah,
I'm talking
yeah.
about people that want to open a campground, put in many storage buildings.
Yeah. But we also haven't heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, a single voice from those communities about this issue. I'm not in any way trying to undermine the importance. I'm just saying that, you know, we have to listen to all sides of the issue. So
the concern that we have carried through enforcement of the sign control ordinance relates to temporary signs.
Right.
Not off-premise signs.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. And then as we discuss this issue, we have some members of the community here who are concerned about becoming too lenient, but I haven't heard the other side of that. Outside of the board member, I mean, I'm just saying from the community side. And I don't, anyway, I'm not discounting that. I'm just saying that.
You know, we haven't had anybody from the community come in and say, I don't like this ordinance because if I can't put a sign where I want to. We haven't heard that from the community.
Well, I've heard.
I would like to know. I do too. That's why I would love to hear. I mean, if you've heard of, if you can get a hold of those people and you even have an email or something. But
don't make that challenge.
Let's just meet in December at Lake Oxwood. I said, let's just have our December meeting in Lake Oxwood.
What type of, help me understand, what type of off-premise businesses would we be limiting here?
Newcat,
yeah.
Jarrett's, like I say, to any business in Rosman wouldn't be able to advertise if
the bank.
Yeah,
those.
Graphics.
Now, technically, to me, and this is just me.
They've got their directional sign that they have.
Yeah, they can have one now, right?
Correct.
Directional sign.
Technically, to me, if they came, they're more than a half mile off. Not much more than a half mile. If they came and asked for a sign on the scenic corridor,
right,
I'd give it to them. I mean, through the variance process. Because, you know, given where they're located, given the fact that that's a four-lane scenic corridor, you know, and, you know, again, they have to advertise there or they're not going to have a directional sign. But
why do they
could have had a directional sign without any kind of approval up to this point. And have it. I don't see this being quite. I'm not trying to argue. I just don't see it being quite as restrictive as what you guys are.
So we're fixing a problem that doesn't exist. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's a big issue.
That case, yeah.
It's a big issue.
In the other case too.
It's a big issue in Lake Oxwell because once the state changed their rules on scenic byways. Originally, scenic byways had no restrictions. They were just designations. And then, naturally, it's easy to get them approved as scenic byways when there's no downside. And then the restrictions start to creep in. And the state actually came through Lake Oxway taking signs down.
Mm-hmm.
And they took signs off people's buildings and campgrounds that were off those corridors had their signs taken down, and that business fell off like 40%. And I mean, there's a lot of businesses in Lake Oxway that are not right on the scenic corridor, so they can't advertise.
Are they within 3 miles of this that scenic corridor?
Some of them are, but some are not. To me, it's just not fair to live in Lake Oxway and not be able to put a sign up when you live in on the Rosman Highway in Kenan. I mean, why should a person that owns property and has a business in Lake Oxway suffer because of a scenic corridor they can't put up a 20-square-foot sign? I mean, I can't imagine what business would get turned down for a variance that wanted to put up a 20-square-foot sign.
I'm listening to the discussion. I think leaving it as you have already voted on makes sense right now. I understand that there is a need and desire to try to limit the number. I don't see it as a major problem right now. And I would, my suggestion would be leave that one as it is right now. That's my point. Otherwise, you need to go back to A or B that Joy has and look at 3 miles.
I missed what you said. What did you say was your preference?
My suggestion would be to leave it as you've already voted on, not change it right now. Otherwise, you need to go in and do something that might appeal at least broadly enough by making it 3 or 5 miles. I respect very much Lauren's point in terms of ambiguity and not having a more certain number. But we're really talking about directional signs right now.
And from a staffing standpoint, from the standpoint of enforcement, the last thing I want to do is have to go out and take care of a whole bunch of real estate signs from individuals. I just don't see that as an issue. If we end up having a lot of businesses that are using directional signs that don't fit in that community, then I think staff would bring it back and say, we need to address this at that point.
That's what I was thinking.
Is that?
Makes sense.
Daryl, was that?
Yeah, no, I understand. That's kind of where I was saying, honestly, either one achieves it. I just,
So then after all this discussion,
sometimes you need to have that
no action was required. And it's now 8:34.
You did a masterful job, sir. Thank you.
All right. Yes,
sometimes
ma'am.
You have to talk yourself into the idea of nothing needs to be changed.
Yes, ma'am.
If you're going to go that way, might you consider that the only establishments who can have a sign on a standing corner are establishments located in the county? So that you don't get the Dollywoods in the south of the borders.
I don't think we can. That's content.
It's kind of
located on or accessed by that scenic corridor? By a scenic corridor?
That's what I thought.
Can I go?
Yeah, you can argue. That.
But they all said it could be accessed.
Yeah.
I can get Dollywood off that scenic corridor.
I can come from South Carolina to Dollywood.
Yeah. Oh, sure, over. You've got more access points.
I see that. Okay. Do we want to address 4.6?
Do we have to have a motion to?
No, because no action.
The way it was already agreed upon.
It's already voted on.
That's what it was already agreed upon, right?
Right.
That's a reason.
What's it? Yeah. What was highlighted earlier is what is in the language now.
It's what was sent to the county commissioners.
And the change on item number one is not changing the wording, it's simply changing the location.
The move. Yeah. And we had consensus for that.
There was consensus on that. Yeah.
We did not have consensus or have a decision on section 4.0, but consider reinstating the 4.6. with the exception for signs allowed per 511, that means prohibiting off-premise signs except as those allowed by section 5.11.
Which allows 20 square foot signs. Wouldn't it be easier to not have it negated in one area but allowed in another?
Yeah.
That's a little confusing. Yeah. I don't know where is the easiest place to pick. Maybe take 4.6 out. That's what we've done originally.
That's what you did in September. Yeah.
I don't see a point for 4.6.
Okay.
All
right.
But that was the byway, right? Scenic byway?
No. Scenic byway was different 4.6 because different version of the ordinance. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. All right, so
4.6 of the 9.25 draft to scenic byway. 4.6 of the 2003 ordinance to scenic corridor. Sorry.
You can't say we had thoroughly
discussed. Did it take this long to write about the Bill of Rights? That's all I'm asking. All right.
Okay.
There's sorrow if nothing else.
Next is the. Yeah, well,
we did, and
no actions required because that was what was approved in the initial wording, so nothing's required, no change is required. So I can let Colonel Chapman know that after a very thorough discussion, we decided it was okay as is. All right, next is the Mountain Ridge Protection Ordinance review.
Looking at time do we want to delve into the mountain ridge, or do we want to address the variance first?
Let's do the variance first.
To ensure that we have time.
Yeah. Is everybody good with that agenda?
Did you read that? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, in your agenda packet that was mailed and emailed, Davis Baird, who owns property in the Sugar Creek subdivision, has requested a variance. He currently owns 22.46 acres. And based on the subdivision ordinance, as you have seen month after month, he could do an exception to the definition of subdivision and have two 10-acre parcels. He would be allowed to have two 10-acre parcels. But based on the map that he has provided, you'll notice that there is a road that goes through his 22 acres. That road breaks his 22 acres into an approximately 4-acre parcel and an approximately 18-acre parcel, if I'm remembering correctly.
No, it's 5 and 16.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you. 5.5 acres and 16 acres. And so his request would to have a variance approved by the planning board to allow him to break his 22 acres into two parcels, resulting in the 5.5-acre parcel and a 16-acre parcel. When looking at variances, staff always consider whether it will open up future loopholes. And the 16-acre parcel would not be able to be divided into two parcels greater than 10 acres, because it's less than 20 acres. So it's not opening up the potential for a future subdivision based on the 10-acre exception to the definition. And so staff would recommend that you approve it.
So moved.
We got a motion and a second on approving this variance. Any discussion? Hearing none, that's all in favor of approving the variance.
I did not.
She shook her head no.
Okay.
All in favor of approving the variance, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Done.
Done. That took a lot less time. All right.
Mountain Ridge Protection.
Yep. I have glitter all over this.
So what was sent to you all? Electronically and hard copy. It's a version that we formatted to be more similar to other ordinances. So you'll notice in Article 4, Jurisdiction and Administration. Administration was moved to the beginning of the ordinance to follow the format and improve the accessibility of the ordinance so that people could see, who do I go to if I want to get to address this ordinance? The authority and enactment was moved to the very front, again, to mimic the format of the other ordinances. The department name was changed to be accurate. The current ordinance had word interpretation, and you, planning board members, mentioned that they liked having this piece, that the word may is permissive and the shall is mandatory, and building includes the word structure. That's word interpretation. But also they have definitions. Do we want to go step by step? Or do we want to go general and then focus in? Because in the packet that you received, we did not have a definition for Dunn's Rock.
I don't notice that. So it's to be defined.
And there is a potential definition up here. We consulted with a couple of representatives from the Dunn's Rock community who have lived here their whole lives and for multiple generations, and to determine whether a definition of this sort was accurate. Because the current ordinance says, and Dunn's Rock. So Dunn's Rock is considered a protected mountain ridge in the current ordinance, but it is not defined. So for clarity, we thought it would be appropriate to define what Dunn's Rock is.
Is that rock that you see off the Greenville continent?
Yes.
That's a good definition.
It's a series of rocks.
I know it when I see it.
I do too.
I
got a
little
Google
Maps
for this
guy.
What's that? I said,
well,
Dunn's Rock.
Well, we have a
figure. Oh, my goodness. What is
that? I said,
Dunn's Rock.
I was going to ask you if you
had with that definition, there is a figure.
Okay.
So Eliza Ware Road and Island Ford Road. Island Ford is right down here. Eliza Ware is here.
It's down off the...
Yeah, it's right there.
Right there.
Greenville Highway. So it's the rock formation that parallels Greenville Highway. Parallels Greenville Highway between Eliza Ware Road and Island Ford Road. Including the northern rock formation between the contour lines of 2400 and 2700, and the southernmost rock formation between contour lines, 2500 foot contour line and 2900 foot contour lines. From our discussion and with representatives from the Dunn's Rock community, we learned that this rock is known as Castle Rock, and this is known as Dunn's Rock.
Right.
So in addition to the contour lines, we added the names of what it is called. So the formation includes both Castle Rock and Dunn's Rock, but found between those contour lines.
We argued over a 20 square foot sign. Think about this. Move on.
Another list of balls.
We're not asking you to vote on this.
I know. I'm being
saying it has a definition. Does it work? Working.
Yes, yes, it does.
Enforcement officer was described in detail in administration and identified in administration. It was not defined in the sign control ordinance and was removed here. Protected Mountain Ridge, as we discussed at the last meeting, includes those ridges whose elevation is at least 500 feet above the elevation of the adjacent floor and at least 3,000 feet in elevation.
Which is in the state definition, is that correct?
Right.
Correct.
With the addition of Dunn's Rock.
Okay. So the only thing we're being more restrictive than the state ordinance on is Dunn's Rock.
Dunn's Rock.
Okay. Everything else is...
Everything else is in right. Terms of definition of ridge.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Outside of Dunn's Rock, does that cover all Dunn's Rock type formations?
Yeah, the current ordinance just says Dunn's Rock.
I know, but the state has their ramifications of what a protected mountain ridge is.
Right.
Dunn's Rock laid outside of that.
Right.
Do we have any others besides Dunn's Rock that may lay outside of that?
We have Looking Glass and John's Rock, but those are all within National
Sea
Park.
Rock. You've got Sea Rock.
Sea Rock.
A bunch of them. Quite a few. but those are all within
Cedar Rock.
Well, Cedar Rock is across from
Big Rock.
John's Rock.
Okay.
Cedar Rock. And you've also got a Cedar Rock in DuPont Pond.
Well, that's all
they like. Don't say a word. Right? I said, I know quite a few, but I'm not there.
Yeah. I know it's not, but I know a few.
So, what's the height of that wall where there's a rock quarry up in the your area? What's that number? From top to bottom, what is that height?
That's man-made. That's one of the things.
Because when you name it and define it, somebody will want to regulate it. So.
I think Daryl's asking a really good question. Now, are there any other features that would be like Dunn's Rock that you would want to add? And I can't think of anything else that is not in any particular area.
Yeah.
Who owns Dunn's Rock right now?
It is in a conservation easement, and I think it is the Rockbrook, and it's in the conservation easement.
Right now. Where is it?
Dunn's Rock.
Oh,
okay. Dunn's Rock. Now, there is a house up on top of Dunn's Rock, and so I don't know how far that lot line goes.
Right here.
I'm pretty sure that that is all within Camp Rock Road.
Well, the house is a different parcel.
Yep.
There's also less than the 40 feet of a tall structure.
Yeah. Maybe not, maybe
and it would not be permanent. It would not be regulated because it's less than 40 feet.
And his grandfathered if it was.
And his grandfathered.
Alright,
I think you're right. I don't think anything outside of Dunn's Rock is everything else.
Can you go back just a little bit?
Yeah.
I was out the last meeting. Can you explain or somebody tell me why the tall buildings and structures were struck out?
If you look at the definition of a building,
it's covered in the definition.
The definition of a building is any structure built for the support, shelter, or enclosure of persons, animals, ship, and so staff, for your consideration, are wondering if we need to say buildings or structures. If you would like buildings to be left in there, no problem. But because buildings are defined as structures, we thought it was kind of duplicating. Mm-hmm. But there's no harm in leaving.
Then you have to get rid of that too.
I mean, yeah, exactly. And we would, if you want to remove it from this, then we would go through the ordinance and make sure we got all of them and just say structure. Tall structure. Tall in front, but tall structure. If you want to leave building, then disregard where it's removed.
Where it's struck out.
Where it's struck out. And so that's something for you guys to consider. The general statute has tall buildings or structures defined. They include buildings in their definition. Mm-hmm. It's verbatim. And this is almost verbatim for what the general statute has. The purple strikeout that you see here, Matt?
Wait a minute. Go back and say the general statute.
General statute that allows counties and cities to regulate mountain ridge protected mountain ridges,
right.
Define tall buildings and structures almost verbatim of what this is.
But it does have buildings.
It has the tall buildings or structures.
Okay. And it has the exceptions.
We probably ought to keep it.
Well, these exceptions, to follow the format of other ordinances, were struck here and moved down here as exemptions. Where are they? Right here. Instead of in the definition, they would be exemptions.
One of the things that when the county commissioner talked, when Larry talked to me about reviewing ordinances was making sure that they were
the format's
the same.
And if you look, tall buildings and structures do not include, so that do not include is an exemption, or, you know, could be construed as an exemption. And so this is struck out and moved down here. Now, in thinking about the way that wording is for clarity, it appeared in the sentence that it was, most of these were minor vertical projections, but not all of them. So windmills are not minor vertical projections on structures. And at the last planning board meeting, planning board members said that windmills should require a permit if they're over 40 feet in height, so that people nearby are aware of it, so that you guys are aware of it, so the county commissioners are aware of it.
So they don't want those 200 foot generating windmills without something being done instead.
Staff are wondering if antennas, poles, wires, parts of a cell tower also would need to be, if they're taller than 40 feet, if the antenna is taller than 40 foot, would we want a permit for it similar to a cell tower?
How many of these high ridges are used for antennas? I looked at this little map in the back. The only part that I know of is the one in Lake Hopsway that's on Bunching Camp Mountain.
That's right. And is that in Jackson, or is that actually in Transylvania?
It's in Transylvania. Transylvania has, Comborium has some kind of satellite deal on top of it that they get cable TV in from Lake Hopsway and Sapphire. And
right.
There's a bunch of, like, business radio repeaters and some towers.
Our telecommunication tower remains does not allow them on protected mountain ridges.
So I guess what's there is grandfathered, and that's it.
But our antennas and poles and wires, cell towers, are they vertical projections of a parent building? I mean, no?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'd have to think about it longer, but on the surface it doesn't seem like they are.
So the enforcement officer was moved up to administration. The permit application, looking at the subdivision and the telecommunication tower ordinances, the development plan that is required for those applications are prepared by a registered land surveyor or a registered professional engineer. So if the structure is going to be greater than 40 feet on a protected mountain ridge, it requires a permit. And that permit, to ensure the safety of everyone, which is the intent of the ordinance, should be designed by a professional.
Is that following the state ordinance?
That is following other ordinance, other Transylvania County ordinances.
Where does it say this 40 foot?
In the definition of a tall structure.
Page 2.
Page 2, definition of tall building or structure. Definition of a tall building or structure. Any building, structure, or unit within a multi-unit building with a vertical height of more than 40 feet.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Okay. Right.
If it's less than 40 feet, it doesn't require a permit.
We don't see it.
We don't deal with it. It's allowed by right. If it's taller than 40 feet, then it requires a permit. There were survey boundary lines, which is required in the telecommunication tower permit application. The name and the address and signature and seal of the surveyor or engineer preparing the site development plan.
Is it permissible for the
chair to step out for a moment. So I would clean up.
Is he like this at home?
Always.
Okay, good.
So, as you'll, most of the changes are minor. And then we come into section 6. At the last meeting, planning board members were confused of the timing and the process for a permit application. They asked that we look at the process of, found in other ordinances, and the telecommunication tower ordinance is similar because it's a tall structure. In your agenda packet, we sent out the telecommunication tower ordinance language with telecommunication tower substituted for a tall structure. So in the telecommunication tower, we have section 6, which is the application submission and review process for the construction or alteration of a tall structure. This is an alternative that would combine 6, 8, and 9 of the current Mountain Roads Protection Ordinance and make it verbatim of the telecommunication tower ordinance, the process.
And all in one place.
All in one place. All under one section. So that is for you to consider. The one thing that is not addressed in that is the permit application fee, which was not addressed in the current Mountain Ridge Protection Ordinance either. But the...
Mike, the important piece that you missed is Section 6. Joy has, in the packet that you have, a condensed version that would be combined with several different... Yeah, you've got it right there.
Okay.
And it actually, it combines several other sections, and it follows the tower ordinance that we have. And so we're just duplicating that to simplify what we have right now.
It combines 6, 8, and 9.
I think you did a really good job.
Yeah, I think.
So you liked the alternative wording?
I do.
I have to look it up. I like the idea of having this
verbatim for the telecommunication.
Well, in one page.
In one place.
So that somebody can look at it and say, this is what I need to do. So I think that's the, yeah.
There is a significant change. If you look at the application review and approval process,
The
Mountain Ridge Protection Ordinance has a come to the enforcement officer, the Building and Permitting Department currently. They review, make sure that the application is complete. And as requested, then they give the reason for why a permit is not going to be obtainable in writing. After they ensure that the application is complete, it comes to the planning board. The planning board makes an action, or if they don't make an action, it is construed as approval, and it goes on to county commissioners.
Right.
And the county commissioners take an action.
Which is not needed.
That is different than the telecommunication tower ordinance. In the telecommunication tower, you guys are the permitting agent, or permitting body. If you guys deny it, they can appeal to the county commissioners. But they don't have to go to the county commissioners if you guys approve it. The Mountain Ridge Protection, they would have to go to the county commissioners even if you guys approve it.
Does that
make
sense?
Is
that the way the state is written? State ordinance? If the state ordinance doesn't require that, you should have commonality with
The telecommunication.
Telecommunication.
Yeah.
Tower.
I think the issue says who shall approve or disapprove. Yeah. So either way, that's an unnecessary step.
Yeah.
Either we're on this, yeah, never mind. One of the two steps is unnecessary.
Even before, we could approve or disapprove or approve.
With conditions.
Right.
Conditions, and it went to the county commission anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That could be read as the commissioners are who you appeal to if you don't like the planning board's decision.
Right.
Correct.
Which is what's in the,
right.
in the, well, the other ordinance.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I think
if I was a county commissioner and I was looking at a draft of this, if I could get rid of a responsibility and push that to another board,
that's what we're here for.
That's what you're here for.
Well, I also think with what you and I have talked about, with what Larry Chapman and I have talked about, the spirit of the idea was to get things looking the same and reading the same where possible.
And logically, we'll process this.
Right, right.
There is also, there. There is also in this process for telecommunication towers that is modified for Mountain Ridge Protection. There is a process to let abutting property owners know that there is a tall structure proposed. That was not in the current Mountain Ridge Protection Ordinance.
We have that in the telecommunication tower ordinance. We notice as part of the application fee is we notice adjoining property owners. But very important, they can come in, they can listen, they can make comments, but it's not, the board doesn't make a decision based on what property owners want. It's, you either have the required information, and if you have everything and you meet the requirements, even if property owners don't like it, they're aware of it, they don't like it, it still can be approved.
It was like the last one we had
correct
abutting property owners coming.
Yeah,
and the process worked.
They weren't happy though.
No, but the process worked.
Right. Well, and there was actually the tower company really did reach out to the property owners and talk to them and try to figure out what would work. And so going back to the example you used earlier, there was a lot of discussion of trying to, how do we make this work within the context of the ordinance.
So Section 9, if you so choose, could be replaced with the new 6, combined with 8 and 6.
So this page would replace 6, 8, and 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd have 7.
You would have 7. You would have the application fee, permit application fee.
Which is standard to all of our ordinances.
Section 10 would become, I guess, 8.
Right.
Section 11 would be.
Exactly. If you guys choose to use the alternative wording, then everything in here would have to be modified to match the alternative word, so that there is no confusion. Because it, right now it says Section 9, but that would now be Section 6.7, or you know, some other some other.
However it comes out. The way you've got it written up here.
Yeah.
The only thing I see right off on 6.4 on this one page sheet, and I think we've had a discussion about this before, maybe we haven't, but the enforcement officer shall may include any appropriate conditions they deem should be placed on the issue of the permit. Shouldn't that be shall? Didn't we talk about that? That it was kind of. I think I remember having that discussion, but I don't.
Well, they shall recommend to you either approval or
right.
disapproval.
But they may include.
They may include details of.
So but basically they could just say no, get out of my office.
Or
that's what I'm saying. But if you say they shall,
oh,
you see what I'm saying?
That is. Yeah. I do see.
I think we had that discussion.
The reason given for denial.
Right. I remember making the comment that
yeah.
one of the things that frustrates people is when you say no, get out of my office.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for giving why your permit was
right.
denied.
Right.
Which it needs to be.
Right. That's what I think.
Right.
There's provision in here for that.
Yeah. Well, as long as we've got it covered, I'm cool. But that's one of the things that I remember. I brought that discussion up.
Yes. Any application, 6.2, any application not containing all information required in section 5 shall be rejected and returned to applicant together with the reasons for rejection.
All right, thank you. Good. All right, never mind.
The enforcement officer may allow the applicant 30 calendar days or a reasonable time period agreed upon in writing to cure deficiencies.
To take care of it, right.
To take care of it.
Okay. All right. I thought we talked about this.
We have.
All right.
And I added it in the draft here,
mm-hmm.
In case you wanted to keep the sections as in the current ordinance. You'll see any permit application not containing all information, but that's 6.2 of the alternative ordinance. Right.
Okay.
So it's in both places.
All right, good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Do we need a motion on that? I think we ought to go with the alternative.
My suggestion, Kenzie, would be I don't think you're going to vote on this tonight, and I think it's consensus. Staff is just looking for consensus that we are doing what you are comfortable with. We'll bring it back to you cleaned up where Joy has made multiple changes.
Yeah.
We're going to go back to the original and then just.
But she needs to know whether we won't.
You like the alternative wording.
Yeah.
You guys like the alternative wording.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like everyone likes the alternative wording.
It's a good
to
place
be considered.
To start, yeah. Good place to start. Yeah.
To start. Okay.
That should be.
The other things that you'll see in red are the legal status provisions that you mentioned specifically, Daryl, that whenever the regulations of this ordinance can. Conflict with the requirements of another statute. I wanted to
standard,
be. It's standard.
Standard.
It was not in the current ordinance draft that we had available.
Sorry.
Is it?
We don't always have that.
Does that need to be cleaned up in other ordinances as well? I mean, I know
that's,
we're not discussing that here, but.
That's what we're going to make sure
right.
that everybody's consistent.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then the effective date was also.
Yeah, yeah.
See, this ordinance was 83.
Right.
So, and it's not like we've had a huge run on tall structures that we've had to deal with.
No.
While at McDonald's billboards.
Gosh,
and
they built
sorry.
All those are something tender.
Sorry.
Sugar Top.
Remember the Sugar Top over in the Banner Hill?
Yeah, Banner Hill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So about all that on.
All right. So alternative wording inserted and cleaned up for you guys to consider.
Good thing we'll talk later.
Yeah. All right. So we're good on that. We'll be getting a copy from you at some point. We don't have another meeting until January. At least, unless we want to have one in December, which I'm inclined not to.
What?
No.
It cuts my number to one.
I really think we need
to. Cuts my number to one.
I don't know.
But anyway.
If we come back in January.
December's a nice month. I don't know why we don't want to have one.
If we come back in January with the alternative wording and it cleaned up, do you think it would be in a place where you guys could vote on it? I mean, have you had time to review it and discuss it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot of controversy here.
No.
Because we don't want to have to introduce it completely new to a couple new planning board members in January, if you guys, or in February or March, if you guys don't get to it in January.
Kind of segued it into directors. You did the variance request and that was taken care of.
That's everything's taken care of. We're up to you now.
Do you want to have a meeting in December or do you want to have a meeting in January?
Do we have any business for December?
Well, the business for December would be to essentially finish up the Mountain Ridge. I think.
When do you actually go off the board?
His last meeting is January.
January. I can give you the exact number of days, but January.
But would you be here for the January meeting?
I will be here for the January meeting. Okay. It starts in February, the new term.
The third Thursday in December is the 21st. I mean, it pushes yeah. to the Christmas holiday.
Birthplace, I'll make it easy there.
Go ahead. I would recommend, given, I think, the changes that are going to be recommended for the I don't think they're going to be hard to deal with. I would just say maybe January.
That works for me.
I'm moving to cancel with December.
I'll send in my.
You will not be here in January.
I'll be here in December.
I'll just
spend.
She will be here in January.
Just January. I'll see you.
Yeah. Well, we have a quorum.
You'll have a quorum.
Yeah. It's just the third Thursday in January is the 18th.
That is correct. Is there any significance? I mean, the 18th is just
going out today, so everybody knows what it is.
Are you okay if you're not here? I mean, you want
to. I am. I'll send my email.
Right.
Sorry.
Then the next meeting will be January 18th. Two other things that I can think of right now. You guys probably, when you drive back home daylight, look, when you drive up to work, there is a monopole that is off of Frozen Creek and US 64. We have notified the owner of that tower and the property owner that it has not been used for 180 days. It's been not used for more than 180 days, but our ordinance says 180. And we have Joy in that letter has said, tell us how you're going to take care of that. It's been standing up there, and it just needs to be either used or taken down. So that's one thing. We have had some complaints on signs, and so we have been working on reaching out to property owners that have signs businesses. And in a low-key way, it just says you have a sign that is in violation. Would you please correct this? One sign that in particular is a business off of NC-280, Ogre, O-G-R-E, had a sign that was right next to the guardrail, well within NCDOT right-of-way. We work with NCDOT right-of-way. They helped us. I reached out to the owner, and they've taken that sign down. They have a new place where they're going to locate it outside of NCDOT right-of-way. There's some signs, flag signs up going up towards Toxaway. We've talked to property owners. And so with any of the I'll speak to myself, but I think Joy would agree enforcement of any of the ordinances is not the fun part of the job.
No.
And we're trying to do it in a way that, you know, people understand that we know they have a business. We're not trying to put them out of business. We just want to make sure that they are complying with something that we have.
Are those flag signs not in the city of Raleigh? Town of Raleigh?
We're not dealing with those signs. We're talking about up near Quebec.
If that property was annexed by the city of Rosemont, so they could sell it.
I think you can.
Quebec.
Silverstein?
The convenience store and the little outdoor trading.
Bear Track? Or Bear?
Yeah, Bear Track.
Bear Track.
Is that satellite annexation?
Yeah.
I believe it is. Yeah. They did that so they could sell alcohol before the county.
I believe it's correct. They did sell alcohol.
But, that's news to us.
Takes care of that.
Great.
Check on that. But
I'm pretty sure that's right.
I'm pretty sure that's correct.
I know Headwaters is a satellite annexation. But I didn't know that Rosman went all the way up to Silverstein.
As bad as I hate to say it, just because I said it doesn't mean it's right. That is correct, I think.
Thank you, Matt.
That's what they claim so they can sell alcohol.
Thank you. We have a deal with the city of Rodman.
It would be important to know that, so we'll look into it.
Why couldn't they sell alcohol without being in it?
They are in it. That's what he's saying.
But before
they were south, also in the camp, you had to be in advance.
Okay. Because you can't sell alcohol now and not be in town.
Right. But it was.
But about a year before that took effect.
Right, they got it. One of the things that government didn't undo.
If they are within the town limits of Rosman, then they are not subject to our sign control.
Can you actually pull that up right now, real quick? You don't have access to Wi-Fi to look on the tax record to see if it's inside the city?
I don't know how I would see if it was in tax.
The tax parcel, so it would actually say that it was found wrong.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It would say inside.
Do any of you have any questions?
Well, addresses are a little funky in this.
I'm almost 100% right, Mac. Yeah. Sure that Mac's right.
Do you have anything? Kimsey, do you have anything else? Questions? Mac?
Great job.
All right.
Mark, while he's looking at it, did you want to address either home funds or ARC wayfinding?
ARC wayfinding is a grant. Well, there's another ARC grant I'll mention first, and that is the free Wi-Fi in Rosman. We are cleared for closing out that grant, and the town of Rosman has four locations where there's free Wi-Fi. That ARC grant will close out before the end of the year. That was working with Comporium. Kaylin mentioned another ARC grant wayfinding. The county commissioners have given us permission to go out for a request for proposal and to select based on our qualifications judgment. And we have one person that has sent in. We're looking at putting in, I think I've mentioned this before, signs that look like wayfinding signs to the city of Brevard Cast.
Mm-hmm. No. The parcel that Fairfax would be on?
Yes.
Look for this in Calls Place.
Fairtrack would be that larger block. That's the filling station.
It might be.
They are owned by the same.
It's owned by the same, but it may be that they only annex this
one lot.
Right.
Where would it show where it was annexed?
You're looking to see if it would say.
Oh, that's not it. That's really good.
Yeah,
you're reading. You got to go back closer to Ross.
That's Ross.
Yeah. Once. Keep coming back. There you go. It's going to be. No,
it'd be one of the last cam mailer. Yeah, it's
got to be right there.
Right. That's a corner. Keep on going down the road. Hit the brakes right there, go around the curve.
Around the curve?
Keep on going.
Watch out!
Here's
the printer. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a.
Rosman fire tax.
No, that's.
County tax.
Yeah.
But I don't see anything that says that it is Rosman.
Oh, it must be yourself out also, we know that.
We will check on that.
We'll verify with the city.
Seems like I remember.
Or with the town.
Rosman Township, fire tax, just because of where it's located.
Yeah, for fire. Yeah. The other.
Oh, this one is Rosman Town.
There you go.
But not the other one.
Well, to say the one beside it's actually the store.
No, this little one is the store.
Right, and that's what sells out.
I think we still had that that Robert Cooley property up.
No.
Not there, but.
Oh, and
we were looking before and it didn't show.
Yeah,
right there.
That's showing the Plaza City.
Oh, yeah, that is a bear track, too. Yeah. Okay.
That's it. Thing that you don't have to be contiguous.
Oh, the other grant that Kayla mentioned was a affordable housing, looking at trying to, with home funds, repair, rehabilitate
three houses for people that are 50% of median income. We're working on that. Joy's been
the person involved. We have two parcels, although they're owned by one person, different jurisdictions.
Where are the signs up there?
The signs are in front of both the Bear Track and the.
But isn't that Bear Track in that small part?
Yeah.
Bear Track's in that small part, and that's in the city.
That's
no,
right.
this one, the gas
station. The store's in the city.
The store's in the city.
Bear Track's is not.
That's in the city. This is not.
The store sells alcohol.
The convenience store sells alcohol, which makes sense.
Right.
But this one.
I didn't realize it was two tracks. I just knew the same person owned it all.
Bear Track sells guns, so I don't know if you can guess.
What? And alcohol.
In the same store?
Anyway.
You can register both there.
Yeah. There's a whole lot there to be made for. Anyway.
Alright.
No, wait a minute. Anybody got public comment? No public out there wants to comment, I don't think. You have any comments? Alright. Board member comment.
I don't think she's there.
Board member comment.
Get on records.
Sandy, any comments?
No, I just think we got a lot done today.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, staff. Thank you for your hard work.
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks,
everybody here.
Thank you,
staff.
That was a kind of a meeting, but we
hadn't
had, so.
Yeah. Good.
No comment.
There's nothing. We wasted an hour and a half. We spent an hour and a half discussing something out of nowhere. But I would rather do that than to just dismiss these people and their concerns.
No,
and not give them, not have them, even though they walk away, they may not be happy, they weren't dismissed.
Yeah.
We had a thorough conversation.
Thorough discussion.
And I would rather them go away with that understanding than with, because that's what people expect from government.
It was a transparent, open process, and it didn't lead anywhere, but... I'm with you. I'm much happier that way than the other way. Because I've been on the other side of that.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. That's in part why I'm sitting over here. But I didn't like the process. So, anyway, that's all I got. And I would consider a motion to dismiss. Unless y'all was going to see it in 10 minutes. Make it 9:30. We got a motion.
I'd second that.
All right. If you agree, stand up and go.
Thank you, guys.
You know, another time I think being real strong, I think they always come and ask for some kind of a special area, special whatever, if there's something out there. Do your own stuff.
Betsy had something before we took off.
I'm good.